May the Lord bless them as they are being taught and shared with. Congregation loved of the Lord Jesus Christ. Children like to think big. Listen to their stories, and they will talk about things ginormous, gigantic, or huge, or humongous. They can tell you because they think about things that are big and stand out to them. And we can learn from them. We need to think big too, especially when it comes to getting the big picture of God's plan for his people. The Bible is one fascinating love story of God's dealing with his people. God made mankind in his own image because he wanted to have that very special bond with them and link them up with him. And through Jesus Christ, he made that bond so special. Says the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 1, God has chosen you in Christ before the foundation of the world. It was all in God's plan. God wanted us to belong to him, to know him, and to acknowledge him. And the book of Revelation that we are looking at this time is a book that speaks in big terms. There is something fascinating about our text. Chapter 14, you may notice, ends with an indication of the final judgments coming about. It speaks about the harvest that's going to be brought in from the whole universe, the harvest. And then in chapter 15, we see what John receives from God as something to encourage him. While the world is being prepared for the judgment of God, and the seven angels with the last plagues, over the last message of judgment, are about to come, the church is first of all reminded that God has a special place for them. That God has a special place for them in his heart, and that he is catering for them, and he wants to encourage them in the face of what's going to happen when the world comes towards a close. History comes towards its end. Yes, we saw people crowding in the streets last Friday in fear of what might be happening with climate change. But are they in fear of what might be happening when Jesus returns? Are they? Are they getting ready for that? We need to. We need to. And this is what the scripture speaks of here. John sees the seven angels with the seven bowls poured out. Then God's wrath is finished with them. That's the end. But before that final judgment, listen to these words of encouragement. They are a foretaste, not only of encouragement, but also of God's amazing salvation. And this can be summed up in the words, the song of Moses and the Lamb. And we look at that under three heads. The song of Moses and Israel's salvation. The song of the Lamb and our final salvation. And finally, the response to so great a salvation. The song of Moses. Let us remember to start with that there were two songs that Moses wrote. The first one that they sang by the Red Sea, the one that we're looking at. But there was another one, and we won't forget that one either, that was right at the very end, before Moses died and when the people were ready to go into the promised land. They nearly reached the end of their journey. Then Moses sings again. For 400 years, the people of Israel were serving as slaves in Egypt. You know about that time. God used Moses and called him to deliver them. He was to be God's mouthpiece, God's liberator. To understand the song, we must understand the background to the song. Before they left Egypt, they were to celebrate the Passover. Everything spells out so beautifully in the Word of God. Think of it. They were to celebrate the Passover, and you know what happened? They had to take a one-year-old lamb and place it right inside the household of each family. One lamb in each family. And the smaller families may be just sharing one lamb. But a lamb to be inside the family for some 3 or 4 days so that they might see the lamb, that they might get acquainted with it, that they might ultimately even get attached to it. And then they had to kill the lamb. They had to put its blood on the doorposts. They had to make sure that when the angel of death was going to pass through the land, that they were saved behind the blood posted, as it were, on the doorposts. They were saved behind the blood of the lamb. The angel of death would pass through Egypt, but it would pass over the Israelites. That's why they call the feast they celebrate then the Passover feast. And those who were covered and protected by the blood of the Lamb would not die in God's final judgment on Egypt at the end of the 10 plagues. Israel, freed from slavery, would now travel into the desert towards the Red Sea. Can you picture them as they're going to take everything with them that they could? And all those things pointed to the true Passover Lamb. The Lord Jesus, born in Israel and ministering to them for 3 or 4 years in their midst, so they could get used to him, they could hear his voice, that they could come to love him. And then he was grabbed and taken to be crucified, so that his blood would cover our sins. And we might go free at the judgment of God. Can you see the connection with the old and the new? The true Passover Lamb keeps us from the judgment of God. And then God's judgment came on Egypt. First in the form, of course, then God's judgment had come to Egypt already in the form of the 10 plagues. But finally it came at the Red Sea, when the Egyptian armies were chasing the Israelites to bring them back to slavery. And while they were crossing the sea on dry ground as Israel's, as God's people, the Egyptian army with Pharaoh was smitten by the descending waters which drowned them. It was the final judgment on Pharaoh's hosts. And the song that Moses sang refers to that victory of God over the enemy of Israel. But there was more in store. We are not only saved from the dark dominion of evil, but also saved unto the service of God. In some catechism book I remember many years ago, was titled "Saved from Sin, Saved to Serve." And those two should always be kept in mind. Saved from sin, but so as to be able to save, to serve the Lord with the whole of our being. Moses had said to Pharaoh repeatedly, and maybe sometime we can overlook that, but what he said, not only let my people go, but he said to Pharaoh, let my people go, for they need to serve me. Let them go to worship me, to serve me. So when Israel finally arrived at the mountain of God after crossing the Red Sea, they were shown how they were to serve God. And in his covenant, God, that he made, that had already made with Abraham, but was repeated, as it were, with the people of Israel as they stood there at the foot of the mountain. In that covenant, God committed himself to them. And through Moses, he gave them this message. that they were God's special people, that they were chosen, that they belonged to him so that they might serve him. And then what was the answer of the people to that message? They said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. And so in the next chapter, we find Exodus 20, what God actually is saying to the people directly, not through Moses, but directly. They heard God's voice and they said, I am the Lord your God who liberated you from the house of bondage, of sin. Now, serve me. And no affairs on the side. No other gods. Serve me only. And so, we could speak of God exchanging marriage vows with his people there at Mount Sinai. They would travel through the wilderness to the promised land as the bride of Jesus Christ. Some honeymoon, you might say, through that desert. But what a time to get to know God, to cater for all their needs. We need water, and there was water. We need food, and there was food. And even when the enemy came, he was defeated in the strength of the Lord. That's the big picture that we need to look at often. Even the prophet Hosea, you might remember, says to the people of Israel, when they had drifted away and when they did have other affairs with other gods, he said through Hosea, Israel, we need to go back to the wilderness. We need another honeymoon. We need to realize our bonding and what that means. And so the whole event of Israel's deliverance from bondage and commitment to their Savior God is pointing ultimately forward to the Song of the Lamb. Then we see the wonderful reality of God's big plan for his people. The ultimate redemption is the salvation that God's Son brought to us, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Passover Lamb. And in the book of Revelation, he is nearly always named by that name, the Lamb that was slain, the Lamb that was slain. Every time you come across Christ's name, it is nearly always the Lamb that was slain. And just as in the Old Testament days of redemption, and as it had two parts there, so the New Testament redemption has two parts. Saved from sin to serve God. Separated to be married to Christ. It starts already, as we saw in Genesis, in Exodus chapter 20. But in Exodus 19, God has assured his people before that big commitment, as assured my people, you are my treasured possession. And it's the Apostle Peter that recalls those words and speaks of them in his first letter when he says to God's people then, you have been called out of darkness into his marvelous light. You have been called into his marvelous light. But remember, out of darkness. What darkness? Think of the darkness for 3 days in Egypt. Think of for three days. Think of the darkness for 3 hours at Calvary. And the Lord said, my God, why have you forsaken me? That darkness. You have been delivered from that darkness. And then think of the darkness of which Jesus speaks. When the man comes to the wedding feast to which he is invited without a wedding garment. He thinks, oh, I'm good enough. I'm not too bad. I don't need a wedding garment. I don't need the grace of God. And Jesus said he will be cast into outer darkness with gnashing of teeth. outer darkness. Think of that. But we have been called out of darkness. And all that was there ahead of us. As people who are sinners. And we've been brought into his marvelous light. And that's the fact that we must remember and celebrate. For we're traveling to the promised land also. And there will, might be some sense of a wilderness. But the Lord looks after his people. Even the 250 or more million who are being persecuted this very day. The Lord looks after them. They will reach their destination. And then we think of the Lord's Supper that we are celebrating this morning. When Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper, he wanted us first to look back. Out of darkness we were taken into his marvelous. First to look back, he said, the bread that is broken for you, my body broken for you, my blood poured for you. And then he says, do this until I come, because I'm coming again. Until I come. And during that time, we must prepare ourselves. So that is what the song of Moses and the Lamb is all about. It is a foretaste of the praise of redeemed people in glory. And that means two things. We must already live as redeemed people. Yes. We are preparing for glory as such people who have been saved by Christ. And that means that we already begin to live as the bride of Jesus Christ, bought with his precious blood, set apart for him for all eternity. That's our commitment now. Not only sins forgiven, but also holy living. As the bride of Christ. For the groom is coming. Not just one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom, rather engaged to be married and no affairs with other gods. And so Moses says in his second song, that's the last one, in the book of Deuteronomy, at the end of his life, he says, oh, that these people were wise. They would discern their latter end. They would see what they are headed for. What is it? Is it the glory of God? God has prepared a place for them. The ultimate goal of life's journey is his glory, the New Jerusalem. We must already see ourselves in that throng by the sea of crystal to which the apostle is referring to. And what he tells us here is that in the midst of what is happening and going to happen in the world in terms of God's judgment, there is a songing, there is a thronging crowd singing the praises of him who called them out of darkness into his marvelous light. So we must see ourselves there by the sea of crystal. And the Apostle John has a glimpse of seeing the church singing there before the final judgment of God and the seven bowls of wrath. And that faces us now with the urgent question. Are we ready? Are we going steady? Are we ready? The day is coming closer. God's people must. And that's what this song is all about. God's people must praise, pray, press on, proclaim. Jesus identified with us on earth. We must identify now with him in his heavenly glory. We must proclaim Christ's victory now. And that's what Peter is referring to in his letter when he thinks back of the Exodus. You are a chosen race. That's actually quoting Exodus 19. A royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. What for? That you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Is it any wonder that Peter also said, now to you who believe, He is precious. Ah, yeah, there's the fifth P. He is precious. That's what the Song of Moses and the Lamb is all about. He is precious. God is worthy of our worship and praise. Even in the face of what is still to happen in this world. But ultimately, in the sight of glory that he has set us apart for. And so, let's not forget about that song. The praise that we must offer. The prayer, the pressing on, the proclaiming. Are you ready? Are you ready to proclaim his wonderful goodness? At the Lord's Supper, we do indeed proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Are we ready to go from here to keep proclaiming until he comes? So make sure we do proclaim. Yes, praise. Pray. Press on. Proclaim. Amen. Let's pray. Our Savior God, we thank you. And we must thank you. For you are so wonderfully gracious. You already give us a foretaste of what the death of the Lord Jesus, the shedding of his blood, ultimately means for us, for he is the Lamb that was slain from the beginning of the world. And one day we may see him in person and worship him. Thank you for your wonderful goodness. Help us to prepare. Help us to be ready for that great and glorious day when he will be revealed to this whole world and bid us, Lord, bid us share the wonderful truth of it to those who are still in darkness, that they too may come into the light. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.